Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and good morning to everyone that's listening in today, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is Minister Sadie Elliott. I am so glad you were able to tune in today, no matter what time you may have gotten this on the air, but welcome to Joy and Peace. And before we start today, we have a very good topic that we'll be talking about today, sanctification in God. And before we get on that topic today, let's have a moment of prayer, a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning just to give you praise and honor this morning, Lord. You're so worthy. You're worthy to be praised. And, Lord, as I go before your people today, dear Heavenly Father, move Sadie out the way and let the Holy Spirit use me and come in and use me in the way that you would have me to speak to your people today, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, bless each and every person that's tuning into this broadcast throughout the land this day, dear Heavenly Father. Bless them, strengthen them, guide and protect them. And let us go further into your word today, dear Heavenly Father, that someone may come out, dear Heavenly Father, knowing a little bit more than they were when they tuned into this program today. And for those of you who are just tuning in, the number to call in today is area code 64, let me get it together, forgive me, it's 646-716-4389. Anyone that would like to call in today and share something on sanctification with them is 646-716-4389. So today we're going to be talking about sanctification in God. And first of all, everyone don't know what sanctification is. And it's merely literally saying making whole. It also means consecration, a setting apart, something for a special holy purpose. And in the Christian life, sanctification has two parts, God's part and ours. In many things in the Christian life, God is playing the major role. And yet we have our part to do also, which is to respond in faith and obedience to what God is saying. In sanctification, our part is to offer to God our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's taken out of Romans 12 and 1. In fact, to constantly offer our whole spirit, soul, and body completely to God so that we devote ourselves to forever to do his will and not our own. Our sanctification cannot be completely than the sincerity and the understanding which we make this decision to God. Now remember, God's part in our sanctification is to actually change us by the operation of his blood, his word, and his spirit. We are sanctified by God's grace, his unmerited favor working in our heart and lives. We have to trust God to work in us. He is the one who produced godly characters in us, such as the fruit of the Spirit and the ability to overcome sin consistently. Sanctification can also be defined as possessing the mind of Christ. And all the mind of Christ, God wants us to allow our mind to be renewed. And you will find that in the Word of God in Romans 12 and 2. Our thinking and attitude must change if we are to grow in God. You can find that in the passage in Ephesians 4 and 23. And many of our thinking patterns, value, and priorities have been shaped by the world system and not by God. We must relearn many things. We have the mind of Christ legally, 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 say. But to actually think Christ's thoughts and allow him to rule our behavior, we need to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit so as to appropriate our inheritance in that area. I hope today that you're writing down some of these scriptures, that they will help you. You can go back and read it for yourself. Sanctification also relates to emotional healing or a changed heart. God won't remove all negative attitudes of despair, fear, and rejection from us and give us a hopeful, joyful, faith-filled attitude. He wants to remove all bitterness and resentment from us. A person who is hurt or bitter needs to receive God's grace so he or she can truly forgive those who have caused the hurt and get free of every root of bitterness. Wrong heart attitudes such as pride, envy, impatience, you know a lot of us have that, resentment, rejection, selfishness, rebellious, independence, and so on. All the fruits of an unsanctified heart. A full sanctification in God will remove these wrong heart attitudes from us. Sometimes the term inner healing is used in relation to the sanctification of emotion and memories in our soul. I hope today, listeners, that you're listening in and you're tuning in today on sanctification in God and the things that we ourselves put ourselves in, things that we need to come out of. Love suffer long, and it's kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Not behaving rudely. When you think about love, oh my. When you think about rejoicing in the truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hope all things, and enduring all things, love never fails. That all come under sanctification. And when you think about comparing our lives with this description of love, can give us an idea on how far we have really progressed in sanctification as God defined it. And when, you know, as I was reading, I noted this down. Sanctification produced other good qualities of godly characters such as courage, which each and every person needs, endurance, things you have gone through, some endurance you need, truthfulness, honesty, and many others. Sanctification is rooted in humility, the correct view of God and oneself, which lead ones to hear correctly from God and others, to put down selfish desire, and to obey God from the heart. The more truly humble a person is, the more God's grace will work in his or her life to produce all the other elements of godly character. And as I go further in sanctification, it means also overcoming sin. As God comes in and filters the light, darkness and deception and evil desire is rooted out and cast out of us. The process of sanctification will change our motives on what we have, our thinking. You know, sometimes our thinking don't be right. Our speaking, sometimes, you know, we have to sometimes say to ourselves, let me count to 10 before I say something, or ask God, bridle my tongue so I don't say the wrong thing at the wrong time. And above all, our behavior. You know, you've been in settings where some people behavior, you just wonder, are they Christ-like? You know, why are their behavior so bad? And our action. You know, in a split second, our action, our mood swing, and everything can change. But that's not sanctification. That's not Christ-like. And we have to think about the old nature will be crucified. You can read that in Galatians 5:24. And what it produced will be stopped. But most of all, God will manifest himself through a sanctified life. Don't you want to be sanctified, listeners on that's listening in today? Sanctification is an ongoing work in the life of a Christian. When you think about it, there may be moments of special consecration and powerful change that's worked by God. But a Christian could easily deceive himself if he considers he has arrived already as far as sanctification is concerned. You know someone, if not yourself, you know someone that think they have arrived. We're all a steady learning. We are steadily trying to grasp, just like that sponge that you put. If you weigh some water and you put that sponge, and that sponge will just, oops, just soak up that water. That's the way we ought to be with the Word of God. We haven't arrived yet. We don't know everything. Every day we come into God as a child to be taught, to be learned, to learn something new that day. And, you know, we should always be diligently to make our calling and election sure. You can find that in 2 Peter 1 through 10. And the salvation of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion is usually never quite completely wrought in any Christian before he or she dies. But it is important that we receive as much of this work of sanctification in this life as possible. To oppose or resist this project is to choose sin and rebel against God. We alone cannot achieve sanctification by self-effort. Many Christians make a mistake, trusting in their own power to make them holy for God. You can't do that, listening audience. You got to trust in God. It doesn't matter how many promises you make to God or to yourself. If you are still trusting your own power, you will not stop sinning Jesus. You got to come out of your sin. Just come out of yourself. Turn your life totally over to God. Let God work it out. Let God be in charge of your life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That means that's what God is saying in John 15 and 5. And it's not just a matter of deciding. That is, from now on, I sin no more. Of course, you must desire to stop sinning, or you will not stop sinning. You have to have a made-up mind that you want to stop sinning and doing the things wrong that you've been doing. You have to decide to just stop. Just as they say, culture, just stop. You know what you're doing isn't right. Just come to a stop in your life. And you say, well, it's time for me to do better. I need to turn my life around. And the key to overcoming sin is not trying harder. It's not imposing rigid and harsh treatment of the body on oneself. Isolating one from the word is not God's plan for holiness. He don't want you to isolate yourself. He wants you to come into the family of God. He wants you to come closer and closer to him. And Jesus told us to be salt and light in the world. We must go into all the world and preach the gospel, not a run away from, you know, seeking, running away from the world. We must love the people as God does. How many of you all really, truly have agape love for one another today? Self-isolation is not the key. Indeed, the Bible says a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rage against all wise judgment. God don't want us to shut up ourselves and forget about the human race. Even no matter what's going on, God will direct your path. He will give you somebody godly that will speak with you, speak into your life, cause you to do the things that you normally would have done, that God would direct you to do the right things that you should do. You know, criticizing oneself or condemning oneself do not produce holiness. Although it's important to keep to judge ourselves at times, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the Word of God said, if we know we have sinned, we should confess it, repent of it, and look to God, not meditate on our sinfulness. If we don't know where we have sinned, then we should humble ourselves before God and ask God to make things clear to us. We should at all costs resist Satan, condemnation, and accusation. And you know, as I was reading, trying to keep the law of God does not mean make us holy. You can read the word all day, but if you're not doing what the word say and lining up with the word, for to be sanctified. And, you know, keeping God's law and our power is trying to be holy, be kept man-made rules which have been added to the commandments of God. You know, people come up with a lot of things, and you say, well, that's not in the Word of God. We are supposed to go by what's in the Word of God. And typically, using, for example, he said, a special rule for how to eat and dress, or rules about how to have church service. But when we focus our energy on keeping man-made rules, we are far from God. We need to keep the rules that God has set already in the Word of God for us to go by. And none of this will lead to the holiness of heart and life which God desires. God wants mercy, not sacrifice. The scripture verse found in Matthew 15:11. And write these scriptures down, Hebrews 13:9, Romans 14:17, and you can go also to 1 Timothy 4:3-5, saying, should make it clear to us that rules about food are not the key to sanctification, rather they become an obstruct destruction. Romans 7:14-24 describe a man who is trying to overcome sin and be sanctified through his own willpower. No. Paul described it as follows. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. How many of us fall in that category sometimes? And Romans 7:15 say, he goes on to say, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwelling. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. My. You know, when we go to the scriptures and read what thus saith the Lord, and read what God hath for us, that would enlighten us and not going on our flesh. God is just so good. Just when I think about it, on dissecting the word and going through it to get a good understanding and confirmation, to be able to come on the line to share with y'all what I have learned, and y'all can call in and share something that y'all have learned also on this topic. It is clear, therefore, that sanctification requires more than simply an act of the will. Our wills are involved, however, as we see, but not directly in efforts to keep the law. Our will must be used to keep our focus on Jesus. Our will must surrender to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Keeping focus on Jesus will enable the Spirit to transform us. My. You know, the normal way to keep focus on Jesus is to focus on his word. Sanctification is part of our salvation, which we must receive. Just like justification, sanctification is by faith in Jesus. You can find that in Acts, the 26th chapter and the 18th verse. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Therefore, we can see that faith is the key to sanctification through which all the other gifts and means by which we receive God's grace are received and made effective. You know, as I was going through that on sanctification, it was so much on sanctification that if you don't search the scriptures through and through, that you will not even know it's there. Did you know about sanctification is by the blood of Jesus? Oh, how much worse punishment do you suppose would be through worth who had trampled the Son of God, had underfoot counting the blood of the covenant which he was sanctifying, that meaning a common thing, and sought in the spirit of grace. The scriptures teach us that the blood of the Jesus sanctifies us. Not only does it justify us or make us right with God, it also sanctifies us. It changes us. Don't you want to be changed today? You want to be sanctified through the blood of God? Oh, my. The first step for any person coming to God is to believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. The blood represents the payment for our sin. They're still talking about sanctification. It takes sin away. We must believe that through the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Knowing we are forgiven and free from guilt, we can serve God with a clear conscience and without fear. We can go forward in our walk with God. But the blood means more than forgiveness. It involves sanctification. We come right back to that word, sanctification. It is the blood of the covenant. A real Christian is in blood covenant relationship with God. It is time we realize what this means. Blood covenant still practiced today in some parts of the world are the most serious type of agreement between two men. That blood is actually mixed. Being in blood covenant with someone means all that I have is yours, and all that you have is mine. We must realize that this is our relationship to God. All that we have is his, and yet all that he has is ours in Christ. That is our relationship to God. The way this works in practice is detailed in the New Testament under New Covenant. This is another reason why it isn't important to study the New Testament also. It is your contact with God. We are still talking about sanctification today. When we realize that the blood of Jesus means that God has bought us and all that we have and are belonging to him, that has a powerful effect on our life if we truly believe. We realize that we are no longer our own to go off and do whatever we choose. We must not listen to God. The knowledge of the blood covenant can change us. You know, and as I was reading this in the Word of God, I thought about the importance of a total consecration of the blood covenant. The knowledge of the blood covenant, we all as Christians calls for a conscientious acknowledgement, consecration, and dedication of ourselves to God. Paul writes in the Word of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You will find that in Romans 12:1. Everything that I'm telling you today comes from the Word of God. All you have to do is pick up the Word of God and you will find it and read it for yourself. You know, it must be a faith responsibility toward God. It means that we are total available for whatever God wants us to do. It means that our eyes are our, he are our eyes, he's our hands, he's our feet, our mouth, he's our brain, all given willing over to God's purpose. It means that our is given over to God's control. It means that our eating will be for the glory of God only. The truth is that our body and soul and spirit form a unity and are linked together in many important ways. Dedicating the body to God completely. And you know what? God is interested in the renewing of our mind. We're still talking about sanctification today. Much of our thinking may still be influenced by Satan through the worldly value which we have received in the past. We got to let that go. There are so many worldly principles which must be abandoned if we are going to think with the mind of Christ. It would be the subject of many books to list and discuss. But God's word must be loved and sought daily. It is the final authority and the voice of truth for our life. God's word can be trusted. It should be acted upon, not upon ourselves, but upon God's word. I am not a child of love and able to walk in love. Every depart from the principle of love is a betrayal of God. God is a God father to me. He always loves me and accepts me in Christ. And I can steadily depend on him to meet all my needs, spiritually, emotionally, financial, in every area of your life. I can find total fulfillment in my relationship with God and in doing his will. This is still under sanctification. So today, if you need any of these things, your needs can be met, your spirituality, your emotion, and your financially in every area of your life through sanctification with God. Everything must be done, glorify God, and to meet God's need. Oh, my, my, my. And it says also that every good thing I have or am is because of God's grace, his goodness, his love and power. All thought or action independently of God is rooted in pride and will only hinder the full of God's blessing. We're still talking about sanctification today. A total dedication to God implies a dedication to constantly spirit-led prayer. We need to pray without ceasing, to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, to be praying always of prayers and supplication that's in the spirit, being watchful to this with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. When we, now all this come under sanctification. It's a lot under sanctification. We have to recognize ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we die to sin, live and long in it? Or do you know that as many of us as were baptized unto Christ were baptized until his death? When we know this, that old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slave of sin. You have to recognize yourself to be dead indeed to sin. And what you think about yourself in relation to this determines the way you will be. Romans 6 says, It is about overcoming sin and living for God through identification with Christ. If I believe that through the cross I am dead to sin, that I am now a child of God, a child of love, and that all things have passed away, that then all this would be increasingly manifested in my life. We're still talking about sanctification today, looking at the different things that God have listed in the Word of God today under sanctification. And in Christ's life, sanctification has two parts. I go back to God's part and our. And in sanctification, our part is to offer to God our bodies as a living sacrifice. God's part in our sanctification is to actually change us by the operation of His blood, His word, and His spirit. Sanctification also can define as possessing the mind of Christ. And all the mind of Christ, God wants us to allow our minds to be renewed. Just think about it. He wants our minds to be renewed daily, every day. Our thinking, our attitudes must change if we are able to grow. If you want to grow, you got to change your thinking and your attitude. Stop doing the things which you used to do the way you used to do it, where you get no result. You need to change it. Many of our thinking patterns, values, and priorities have been shaped by the world system, not by God. We have let the world come in and shape and think and talk to us other than the Word of God and through the Scriptures. We have to remember to let Christ be in us totally. And, you know, to actually think Christ's thoughts and allow Him to rule our behavior. We must need to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit so as to appropriate our inheritance in God. Our sanctification also relates to emotional healing. So many of us today are needing emotional healing that's on this line today. When you think about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we think about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The most important all there is love. I'm hoping someone today is getting something out of our sanctification. The topic that I'm talking about, sanctification in God today, this is giving us a whole lot. When you start digging deep into the Word of God, it is so much in the Word of God on sanctification that I'm still learning. I don't know it all. God wants to remove all negative and attitudes of despair, fear, and rejection from us and give us a hopeful, a joyful, faith-filled attitude. He wants to remove all bitterness and resentment from us. A lot of us that's on the air today have resentment against somebody, bitterness in their heart. He wants you to remove all that, where you may be sanctified. You may be whole. You may become whole like He wants you to. And a positive person who hurts or bitter need to receive God's grace so he or she can truly forgive those who have caused the hurt, get free of every root of bitterness, wrong heart attitude such as pride. How many of y'all have so much pride that people can see it when you walk into a room? Envy. How many of y'all need to get rid of some of that envy? Impatient. How many of y'all are just impatient today? How many of y'all have, oh, Jesus, when I went to read resentment. You know, we got to move all that to be holy and sanctified and God outside. We got to get rid of all that baggage, all that trash that's just come into our lives. We got to get rid of it. Did you know that? We just got to get rid of that. My. A full sanctification in God will remove these wrong heart attitudes from us. Sometimes the term inner healing is used in relation to the sanctification of the emotion and memories in our soul. You know, sanctification and holiness also mean the development of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which we were going over earlier. My. Compare your lives with the description of love. Can give us an idea of how far we have really progressed in sanctification as God defined us. It is worth mentioning that the truly sanctified or holy person that has the fruit of joy, to think that gloominess and sadness is a mark of holiness is to be deceived. The Bible calls us to rejoice in the Lord always. You will find that in Philippians 4:1 and Thessalonians 5:17. Sanctification produces other good qualities of godly character, such as courage. I know a lot of you all need more courage out there today. A lot of you all need endurance. Some need to have truthfulness. Some need honesty and many other things. But sanctification is rooted in humility. How many of you all today on this that's listening today really have humility in your life? How many of you all are praying, asking God to sanctify you and have God to do more in your life that I have mentioned thus far? Don't you know that God can answer your prayer right now? All you have to do is just ask Him. Ask Him to come into your life. Move some of the things that have been going on in your life that was wrong, that you need to rectify, that you need to come back into compliance with God, not man. Man don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. You need to go to God today and ask God for these godly qualities. The correct view of God and oneself, which lead one to hear correction from God and others, and to put down selfish desire, and to be a God, obey God from the heart. The more truly humble a person is, the more God's grace will work in his or her life to produce all the other elements of God's character. We have to become overcome in sin. As God come in and fill life, darkness and deception and evil desires is rooted out and cast out. The process of sanctification would change our motives, our thinking, our speaking, our behavior, and our action. Today, just take a look at yourself and see where you stand. Look in the mirror and see, are you having some of these things? Do your thinking need to be changed? Do you speaking? Have you been speaking negative and you need to change that? Have your behavior been not good where God and you know it need to be? Do you need to change that? And above, your action. Are your action lining up with God or if it's lining up with the enemy? Don't you need to change that? But just think about in Galatians 5:24. And what it produced will stop. But most of all, God will manifest himself through a sanctified life. A sanctified person will be like God in his character and personality. Sanctification is an ongoing work in the life of a Christian. There may be moments of special consecration and powerful change working by God. But a Christian could easily deceive himself if he considered he has arrived. Already, as far as sanctification is concerned, we should always be diligent to make our calling and election sure. You can read 2 Peter, verse 10. The salvation of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion is usually never quite completely wrought in any Christian before he or she dies. But it is important that we receive as much of the work of sanctification in life as possible. To oppose or resist this process is to choose sin and rebel against God. You don't want to rebel against God. When you read in the New Testament, every Christian to live in Christ-like holiness. We're still talking about sanctification, justification, holiness, set apart. All this comes sanctification. With the pressures of deadlines, appointments, obligations, how do we develop the character and motor of Christ in our lives? Holiness must not be reserved for a select few of God's people who live above the ordinary. But holiness is for all of us, not just for a few. It's for all of us. You can have it. It is for ordinary people living in an ordinary existence. People like you and I. We don't have to be high-minded or have this and have that to be able to live holiness. We can live a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled life. Have you ever thought of that? We can do that. We really and truly can live a sanctified life. Christians can live in a spiritual victory. Don't you want to live spiritually today in a victorious life? Holiness for ordinary people, personally, you know, with practice, truth from the Bible to inspire you. Go to the Word of God. Everything that I have told you today came from the Word of God. All you do is just read it for yourself. Go into the Word. Let it minister to you. Because God's will for your life is just the Word of God. We can be sanctified. We can live holy. We can do what God said for us to do and be rejoiceful in it. You hear a lot of people say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. But then you look at their life. Their life is not lining up what they're speaking from their mouth. So you have to know that you know through the Word of God what God is saying. You have to want to be sanctified. Not in just one thing, in everything. You have to go to God in the areas that you're lacking. Ask God to help you. Ask God to show you what to do, what to say, how to say it. Change your attitude. You know, we come to people sometimes with a bad attitude, or we think everybody's supposed to do it because we say do it. Not so. We have to go before God. When that day comes, when our name is written in the book of life, we got to give an account of everything that we have done. So that means this is the dressing room. We need to get it right now. We need to be giving God all the glory, all the praises, not just sometime, but all the time. We need to know without a shadow of a doubt what God wants for us, the life he wants us to live. We have to stay in tune in the word of God. Not only is God's word important for our sanctification, but also the word, death and life, is in the power of the tongue. Our words are either in harmony with God's word or they are not. We are very rarely rise above the level of our confession. And we can go to God and confess of everything that is going on in our life, what is happening with us. We go to God, and God will do everything that we need to do. But we need to line up first. We need to do exactly what he say do. And we won't go wrong. I was just thinking, you know, as much as I've shared with you all today and poured out to tell you about sanctification, for a lot of you all that may have just touched the surface, I went deeper in depth on it to understand it more so people would know when they're talking about sanctification, about holiness, where we stand, where we have fell short, what we need to do, where we need to go, you know, in sanctification in God. Because, I mean, God is just, he's just blessing us every day. And we have to depend on the Spirit of God as a key to overcoming. The knowledge of the word alone will not give us the power to overcome sin, but by all that God wants us to be. The power to be changed into the image of God comes through the Holy Spirit. We can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Just as evil spirits are at work to lead us to follow evil ways of deception, so the Holy Spirit wants to work in us, through us, and with us to produce what God wants. The Holy Spirit is much more powerful than any evil spirit. Nevertheless, he does not violate our will. Only evil spirits do that. You must cherish the presence and influence of the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's always to fulfill God's plan in our life. The importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit daily cannot be overcome, emphasizing when we're talking about our reputation, the requirements, we must think about God. We got to have God, y'all. And when, don't think that the scripture says in vain what the scripture is saying. The spirit who dwells in us yearn, mean jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God, resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. God is always wanting to give more grace. The apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Grace from God is always undeserved. God's grace comes through the Holy Spirit. A correct relationship with the Holy Spirit is what we need. Then in order to receive the grace God wants us to have. Now, as I was telling you all about sanctification in God today, I know that was a lot that you have absorbed, but it's a lot in sanctification, not just saying I'm sanctified, or you lining up through everything that I have brought you through the word of God. Humble. Have you ever become humble, to humble yourself? It's to fast or stop during times of fasting. Still talking about sanctification. We can hear the word of God more easily. He will bring correction to us if we truly humble ourselves. We will be willing to listen to his correction and obey him. My. When you go right back to our growth and sanctification, as we started off, holiness is a work out in the contents of a life of fellowship with other Christians. We need the parts of the body. We need apostles. We need prophets. We need evangelists, pastors, teachers, for all us to come to a perfect man or woman to measure up the status of the fullness of Christ. God have given these ministries to the universal church to use in the body of Christ. We would be foolish to reject them if we want to be fully sanctified. That means God have set all this in the body of Christ. All this should be working in the worship in your churches. So when you study on it and read on it in Ephesians 12 and 14, they're telling you, also 13, about the apostle, about the prophet. These are the fivefold ministry that should be working, all going and helping you in sanctification. We abide in Christ not only by feeding on his word in our heart, but also by learning what pleases him and what doesn't. As you study the word, you will learn more. Faith in Jesus as sanctified and his other office that he have in the word of God. The Bible declared, but of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who became from us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and justification. Jesus is both our sanctifier and our sanctification. It is important to keep our eyes on Jesus, not ourselves, not on somebody else, but on Jesus. We can see him in the world revealed to us as the one who is able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him. The more we see Jesus, the more we will be like him. If we can know him, receive him, and trust him more and more as God, as governor, as a healer, as a deliverer, as a shepherd, as righteousness, as victory, in all his other office and role which he has taught us, then our sanctification and victory over sin will be so much stronger. The Holy Spirit would like to reveal Jesus more to us. We can have deliverance and emotional healing as a step in sanctification. My. And as we think on this today on sanctification, we see in the Word of God's passage that God is able and willing to sanctify us completely in our spirit and our soul and our body. And at the new birth, we receive a new spirit. There is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 say, this spirit is born of God and does not sin. However, we exhort in many places to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. You will find that also in Ephesians 4:22 and 24. The most powerful healing force is the love of God, emotional healing or inner healing. Sometimes we need that. We need emotional healing as well as inner healing. And all this come under sanctification. So when we say we sanctify, we better know what we're saying. We better know that our life is lining up of what we are saying and what we are doing. We need to call on the name of Jesus. We need to be reading the scriptures. We need to be studying daily. Because the scriptures teach us that all who does is to live godly in Christ Jesus. We're going to suffer persecution no matter what you go through. Don't look at it like that, but look at, we all suffer. For God's sake, he suffered for us. There are some kinds of suffering which will come to us in one form or another. And if we wholeheartedly seek to do the will of God, other sufferings we experience because of our lack of wisdom or knowledge, if you are proud, ignorant, you can be deceived by the evil one in some decisions you make. And the outcome of these decisions will lead to personal suffering. It is much better to decide not that you need to seek humility, wisdom, knowledge, and love all the days of your life. You're going to need this. You need to seek that. Suffering and sickness is not the will of God. Jesus took, you hear me? Jesus took our diseases and carried our pain, and with his stripes we are healed. That means everything that you are going through right now, we have a caller on the air right now. We're going to tune in to see what our caller. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Toronto.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. That is a hat, girl. You get the prize.
Huh?
I said that's a hat.
Okay. Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Would you like to share anything with the listening audience today?
You're wonderful. You are talking my language. You're talking about everybody being an individual creation of God, and that it's all ours as an individual to take God, you know, upon our own understanding. And God has given us the word in numerous ways through music and poetry and his word. But his word is also the making of everybody. So if they are a people, then there was a part of God that started them up for the reason of today. So we're going to be using their culture and using those people to build us into a, you know, this infinitive being as a whole. So he's done the nations and he's done the people individually so that every single one in forever can be glorified, because we need each one of us to add to the body of Christ. And that when we finish, you know, understanding that it's not about trying to figure out where you fit and where it is that you, you know, stand in a system or stand above a system, that you are of God and to create your own. You've been really established to be organized and obedient because God needed a vessel that would be capable of carrying the Spirit. But we have the common sense now, and the common sense is based only on the understanding of God in his truth. Thank you.
Amen.
The Spirit is building God right now. So God is there. He already knows that forever we've been made to evolve ourselves into this moment. But when the consciousness of God is added into the world, then we all die and we become the body of Christ so we can all be reborn. But we can't do it one by one. It would take forever. So if we get the internet up and running, make this the assembly, go house to house, and we speak the word, then, you know, people from other religions, people from other cultures can be listening to just the word being spoken, you know, in the glory of how you see your Lord and how you want your God to represent. And you're really talking about, you know, the same love that God has for all of his people. You want to see unity. You want to see that everybody is just going to become humbled by the fact that they are a creation of the Lord. God is now making us see that the Spirit is more important in an individual way because of the relationship that we have as our character and the Spirit of God come together, that we now are a part and a portion of the whole big creation of the world, which is the making of God, who can give us this heaven that we need, so that he knows that right now we're in the planning stages and you need to sit at the, you know, the edge of the sea, which is, you know, going on the internet and, you know, crossing over and finding our men and our people that can encourage our word. And that we know that when we encourage through the word of God, that the Spirit is now saying, you know what, I can collect all the people. You don't know how many people are listening, but God is saying that your words are true words because it's bringing people closer. So every time you speak, there is in every moment, even half a moment, even a quarter of a moment, there's going to be somebody coming to the Lord because of the things that you're saying. So he's glorifying you and he's making you a disciple, and you're picking up your cross and you're being fit, you know, a fisherman, you know, and you're taking your net and you're going into our net and you're calling people, you know, to you by your word and by your words up here. And then people will call in, you know, and fish for you. So then they call in on their phone line. And that's still just fishing for men, right? And
you
come together, and the Immaculate Conception, that the Spirit is now working through us, is seeing that you're a different person. I don't know where you are. You know, I'm sure that you look different than me, and we are talking about the same God.
Yes, right.
We have to see that in the end time, when Jesus comes off that cross, he's coming back to a world that's ready to hold the idea of God living amongst his people. So he's creating the perfect vessel, and he is making us all vessels, and then he's making the tomb for us so that we can rebuild the temple. That is our bodies, so that we can then carry the Spirit of God. But we have to, yes, break down the flesh. We have to destroy the world the way that we once knew it and know that that's half of the fruit and that he hasn't given us the other half until the Spirit's in the world. So this is the first day of the beginning of creation when we start speaking the truth. And that's what we're doing. It's amazing.
Thank you so much for calling in, because that's what I'm trying to do. Where, like you said, going from house to house, knocking on doors, and coming through the computer, since everything is going computer, the technology now, we still want to get the Word of God completely through.
Right.
Where everyone, you know, everyone can hear it. And I am so glad that you called in today,
hey girl,
to share your views. And you said you
sat on the computer, sat in, and so to know.
Uh-huh.
And this is the new ark. And we are standing in the center, around the old lamb. And this is like we're focusing on God. We're focusing on Jesus coming back so he can save us.
That's right.
Through us, and that's why he went on the cross, so he could come in the Spirit through us and show us what it is that we are, just like he knew what he was. But he's getting us to the end. And we are now doing desolate, going house to house in the assembly and in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? We are in church right now on the day of Sabbath. So, you know, forget about the Sunday thing.
That's right.
We are choosing to be on the internet and choosing the right words that are going to bring us more understanding in God's creation. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Revelation.
That's right. There it is. And he said, you know, before he come back, the word had to be preached throughout the world. And we have to get the message out there as much as we can, by whatever means we can, whether we're on the internet, by phone, in the building, the synagogue, you know, if we texting, email, writing a letter, airmail, you know, we have to get the word.
Being 10% of anything that you once were, are 10% better, you know, in trying something new.
That's right.
Like, you know, just really just trying to find some peace in your heart. Find some peace in seeing that you are the creation. And when you look in the mirror, you don't see just a mere man, but you see the creation of God and the vessel that's going to carry the Spirit. It is truly awesome. What do you think?
I sure do appreciate you coming on today and sharing with me and others around the world. And you're from Toronto, Canada?
Yep, North Country.
All right, and I'm in Texas.
Yeah, so are my kids. What part of Texas?
Yes, Houston.
Oh, that's where my kids are.
Yeah.
That's where my baby daddy is.
Oh, okay.
My kids are right now. They're in Houston. Where are you? They're in Almeda.
Okay,
Farms.
I'm not far from Almeda.
Do you know Mrs. Farms?
Not right offhand.
She owns the Kings of the Old Chosen Land.
Okay.
And
so, I just thank God, because I do outreach. That's why it's Joy and Peace Outreach. And I work with, you know, people every day, people coming in and out of prison, people that's on the wayside of life, people under the bridge, people that need help. And I just want to get the word out, whatever way, you know, by tracks, by going into places to tell people about God, telling them that they can come out of their sin, and letting them know, just like for the topic today on sanctification in God, you know, we have to be about God's business. You know, just we have to let our light shine, not just talk about it, but be about it as people see us.
Right.
You know, they see us doing the work of God and living what we're saying, not just saying it, but doing what God say. We had to come out for my mom, them, for them to know, you know.
this is where God says not to be, you know, up in, oh, look at me, I'm doing good stuff. This is the people that you're changing in their life, you know.
That's right.
I'm not a sinner, but to say that God has created you in the original sin and there's nothing wrong with you because you're not being a righteous Christian. You're being, you know, a creation of God that is helping and serving the Lord to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
Save them. They can't be saved by you. You are giving them the right to be so that they can actually be a wonderful creation too and know that they are the slaughter and that they're going to be also in heaven no matter what. But to share that there is a God that cares about them and that they're perfect in every way and it's not their fault. But that there are people out there like you that can come and help and care.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make them like, you know, you're a sinner and that, you know, you need to be redeemed. They need to redeem themselves by, you know, really just understanding that they have not been anything but slaughter and that they really need to start again with the old God has made you in this hell to actually struggle through what it is that's going to make you a warrior. And in the day of the coming, everybody's going to make it. So they're the first ones to be at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Thanks to you.
Yes, Lord. I mean, I just, you know, I was hoping everything I was saying today coming from the Word, that's why I was giving everybody scripture, that they could go along, they could read for themselves to know what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, come from the Word. I don't want to get on here and say nothing, and I give scriptures.
Why don't you give me a scripture right now? Just open the book anywhere, and you'll see it'll say just that, what you've been doing, what we've been talking about. Make a miracle out of yourself. Come on.
Okay. You can go to Joel, the 3rd chapter and the 25th verse.
Is that where you just opened up?
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Where are you?
Joel, J-O-E-L, the 3rd chapter and 25th verse.
You read it.
Okay, and it say what I have down said, there is a wonderful promise for us in the book of Joel. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, and my great army which I sent among you, talking about the locusts. In God's word.
So
The
creepy things of the earth, but you know what? The locusts are also needed just as much as all of them. And, you know, locust just means it's a swarm of, you know, of sadness, a swarm of, you know, creepy things that, you know, also need love, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, you know, a plague that's going on in the world. We're all really trying to find the humility through seeing that we're really nothing and God is everything. So we're all just a swarm of creepy things.
Yes. And if you have your Bible with you, turn. I'll go off the just a little bit, but turn to Psalms 27.
All right.
All right.
Psalms 27.
Yes.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, mine's too. And the word of the Lord, say you have it?
Yes.
Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foe came upon me, to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'm saying this on the air for anybody right now that's going through, that may have just come on the line.
Right, comforted from all the hell that we've been through.
Yes, yes.
It's making you the warrior of God. If you make it through in the day of the coming, you know that it's not about the people around you, but it's about God making you a warrior and carrying the armor of the Lord. You know, Jesus has said all of it. He just said throughout all of his scriptures, just do what you would want done unto you. He wanted people fed. He made it. He wanted people to be healed. That's what you would want.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted people, if you needed something, you would want somebody to give it to you. And that is all that it is in this day. One law, do unto others as you want done.
That's right.
And
that is so true.
Right.
That is true. And that's all I'm trying to tell people, you know, on different topics that I have. You know, love one another. The biggest thing is agape love. That love, God loves us. He wants us to love one another. It's not where you live, not the what color your skin, what kind of job you have, what kind of house you live in. It's to come together as a body of Christ, a body of believers, to love one another.
Right.
Do for one another. Share with one another.
Coming of Christ.
That's right.
And he's making everybody responsible because he wanted you to feel the same way as he did without going to the cross.
That's right.
He wanted you to support each other and say, we've all been enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
But God had to deceive us so that we would find our own truth and manifest a God that would come and represent our life and give us a portion that gives life to everybody. And if we don't realize that,
mm-hmm.
we are lost because we're making enemies that we need. So whatever you are, if you have an enemy, you need that enemy in order to complete you. Otherwise, forget it.
That's right. That's right.
No judgment. God made that enemy because we had the divide made by the choice of man.
Uh-huh.
And so we have divided the wicked and the righteous. But that was the church saying that, you know what, you are not following because God is giving you the service unto him to learn his word, but not to use it to strengthen and do what you're doing. Not to point fingers and say, you can or cannot come into my church unless you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are just going to glorify what makes you so happy about meeting them that you can offer them that same hope. And really, that's all it is.
Yes, that is so true. And in the Word of God, as I was turning in my Bible on Isaiah chapter 60, the Word of the Lord say, not me, but the Word of the Lord say, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So I'm telling everyone today just to arise that's listening up and shine. Give God the glory because he is worthy to be praised no matter what you're going through right now,
right.
No matter where you may be in life right now, you can arise. You can give God the glory. Let God come into your life. Let him anoint you, appoint you. Not man, but let God. Because what God do, it can't be changed. What God do, man may tell you they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And, well, I want to do this. Or if I can, I would or I should or I could. But God let you know. God going to just tell you it's yes or no. And he going to do it.
You're already doing it.
All right. You're doing it.
Doing it for God. God took it all upon himself to do the worst abomination unto the world. And that was like where he like cried and said, they know not what they do. God, you know, why have you forsaken me, Father? Because he knew that it was going to cause this like unfortunate split up between people.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these evils, you know, and separate, you know, man from man and, you know, your family, you know, and, you know, cause all these enemies to be, you know, at each other's throats. And in this day, it is not driven by God. It's driven by man because, you know, man has lost the word. It was pretty much all about just loving one another.
Yes.
And if we'd done that, you know, right from the get-go, then, you know what, we would have been whole. But he also knew that it had to be separated so that we could choose which evil that we would be a part of in the original sin. But then that would be the divide at the moment that he would come. We would be so close, like standing on one side of the line and the other being on the other side, and that they are both just looking silly in their face because
mm-hmm.
they all want the same thing. Just because you look different and just because you were given a different, you know, prophet to carry your word to make you a people doesn't mean that you have to hate that person.
That's right.
Fear and the prejudice. And that was because, you know, you need to make, you know, landmarks so that you can keep your strength and become a culture and a people. I mean, God is perfect. But in this day, there's only 12, you know, of all the people. We were born in 12 months, you know, and then there's two. There's woman and man in 12 months. And then that all makes up the perfect human. Then you add the old spirit of God, which is the all-knowing, and he tells you that you could never have done anything more than sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he wants you to accept that he died for that sin. So he was the worst abomination going. How do you make him the worst sin? Well, if he was God and he knew this was the only way to create you into somebody that was an individual and separated from God so that your appreciation of your creation would be standing before God and representing his creation, so that you can live with God, that would be the reason why he had to go into the unseen. That means that's why he would die, because he needed you to believe so much that there was another place to go and that there was a Savior that was going to take you away from this hell. And that's why he's coming back. But he had to have you kill off your God because you all are separated from each other because of a different faith. And, you know, he needs you to know that you're all children of God no matter what. And we need to unite in order to make God complete. And that man that comes back is going to be the Spirit of God regardless of what his name is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That is everybody and everybody making up God. So when we witness this for the first time, this is the first time God is giving us the word in truth. And it's because our world had to be so corrupted that the only way that we could survive was if we came together and brought all these little portions and made ourselves into one body of people. He is giving you no choice at this point. He's saying that you have to love, otherwise you're done. Because you know what? You want love too. And if you don't see that it's killing you to hate and it's causing it to come around and it's going to hurt you. Because when you hear this word and you know that you wouldn't want to be treated the way that you're still in your head hating that guy next door to you, you know, this is just going to be your learning. And he says, I'm going to have to separate myself and you can't come to me. You are now setting up your own spirit because you're chosen and you're anointed and you're not going to die. So you better get on the old conception and the truth that you are a miracle.
Yes.
And that you need to fight to survive.
Yes, Lord. You know, I thank you so much for coming on today, sharing your thoughts and stuff with others on. And I hope you will continue on listening in to Joy and Peace Outreach, because we have quite a few good topics that we're going to be coming on with that you can come on and share with us.
I'm just so happy to have you. Thank you.
You are quite welcome. And invite, if you know others, invite them to come on that have a computer. And if they don't have a computer, give them the number. And the number again, that any callers that just tuned in, the number is 646-716-4389. And
don't
Joy and I didn't hear you.
I said God will send them to you.
Yes, he will, because I'm just a vessel. I told him, God send me. Yes, years ago, send me. I'll go.
Oh,
so
you're in the tomb and you're rebuilding your temple.
Uh-huh. So wherever God want me to be, I want to be with him and doing what he say do. So when he come back, he can say, thy good and faithful servant. You know, I don't want him to come back and catch me with my work undone. So I want to be found doing what he say do.
This is not service now. This is your portion that you're given. This is not work under the heaven. This is portion given up to the kingdom. And
that's
you are
right.
Not laboring and you're not working. You are just giving your portion.
Yes.
Your service unto God. You know the word. And you're following it the right way. And that's all he wants.
Yes.
Truth.
Yes.
Amen. Well,
amen.
Well,
before I go, yes, Lord, before I have about 5 minutes before I go off the air, so I'll go ahead and say a prayer, and I'll play a song called Encourage Yourself for those that's still listening in that may need some encouragement today.
Amen.
Those that had heard you and I hope they got something today out of what I've said and when you coming on sharing with them, because it is so wonderful when others come on and share the good news about God and what they're experiencing with God, something that they have gotten out of what was said today. And those that may be coming on later on that may tune into Blog Talk.
We can talk after. Do you know that you can stream for another hour after you've gone on there?
We sure can.
You know
can.
What? Just say your goodbye
okay.
And, you know, do your song. And stay on the line. I'll come back and talk to you.
Okay, then. Well, thank you so much. So let me say a prayer, and you can come back on the line, and I'll just play a little encouragement for them.
All right. I'll talk.
Okay. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for those that tuned in today to Join Peace Outreach Ministry, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for everyone that heard today the word that went forth, that ministered to their heart and to their mind and to their soul, Lord. We thank you for talking about sanctification in God and the different components of sanctification, dear Heavenly Father. Hope it was something that matured somebody a little bit more, somebody that was brought a little bit closer to you in their emotion, in their healing process, dear Heavenly Father, in their self-effort, dear Heavenly Father. Also, those that were sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through their consecration, through their justification, dear Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you today, dear Heavenly Father. for those coming seeking how to overcome the different obstacles in their life. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to let it be a nugget dropped in their spirit that will help them know how to be sanctified in you, not in me, but sanctified in their deliverance and in their emotions, in their healing process today. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen, and thank God.
Oh,
Hi.
Hey, hold on just a moment. Hello?
Hi.
Okay, I'm back. My phone went to ring. They didn't know my cell phone. But I have enjoyed talking with you today, and I am so glad you come on. Do you have a show on, or you just come on?
No, I don't. I don't have my own show.
Okay.
Come and bother people.
Huh?
I just listen to your word.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
I listen to everybody's word, but you know what? This is the day of the coming, and we have to encourage and really just trying to destroy what it is that's religion, because we have to come together, and, you know, everybody's got God in the same way. We're all,
uh-huh.
And, I mean, this is what the day of the coming is getting rid of religion, because it divides people.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was to divide. When Jesus came, you know, and died on the cross, he divided the Jews and the Gentiles. And then it made, you know, the third, which was the, you know, the immaculate of, you know, the people over it that, you know, study Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Islam is the Old and New Testament put together, because they believe in Jesus, and they understood that, you know, how the prophet that Jesus was carrying the spirit, and also Muhammad was, you know, speaking about Allah, which was the spirit that Jesus carried. So,
mm-hmm.
They need to understand that and go back and not hate the Jews and not hate the Christians, but to understand that they're the making.
Mm-hmm.
They're the making of Christian and Jew. And, you know, when the Hebrew words were found in the scriptures, that was like 1,000 years ago, supposedly. And 1,000 years before that, they had dated back that there was a, you know, that vessel that carried, you know, all three religions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what Muhammad did. I mean, before he spoke his word about Allah, he, like, studied, you know, and hung out with people that were Gentiles and also people that were
Jews. Hold on a minute. My phone buzzing. Hold on. Hello?
Hi.
Okay. Can I call you back? Got another one calling me in, too, just like you were calling, want to say something.
That's so, fine. You have my number. You can call me.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I got your number? Wait a minute. Let me see. Let me get it. Let me write it down because I don't see it on here. Hold up. Let me get my pen. Okay. Go ahead and give me your number.
416.
It's 446.
416-636.
Wait. You're going too fast. Go ahead.
416.
416, okay.
636.
636. Oh, that's right. Oh, okay, just go ahead.
1089.
1089. And your first name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Okay, Stephanie, I'm going to call you back.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. you want to get some milk? Or do you want to, like, let's do what we're going to do. Down. You want me to put the earphones on? Toby? Do you want me to watch the movie with you? Yeah? Oh, I got it. The volume?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Am I still there?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you there? Hello?
I left you hanging there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me? Did you hang up?
No, I didn't. You just clicked me back on.
Oh, okay. I thought I had cut you off, and I said, I'm going to call her back. Because a friend of mine had called to tell me she had sent me a thing on here. I'm trying to find it. Switchboard. My sure page.
Hold on, please. Could you just turn it down a notch? Hello.
Yeah, because I'm going out of town, and that lady going to come pick me up to go get a car that I'm renting. So I'm going to have to get up off of here because it's almost 12 o'clock, and I told him I'd be at the airport for 12.
Well, you know what? Keep that number and you can call.
Okay, I'm going to keep this number and call you.
And maybe we'll plan a show together.
Okay, then, good. And you can always read. I have my programs already down for the whole month. But I forgot I got an appointment today, and it didn't think I should have scheduled. I have to call it back, probably schedule for Friday because it's going to interfere with my show. I'm going out of town, but I'll be back, or if I can do it while I'm out of town. But, I'm the lady with the hat. You would say the lady with the hat on, right?
Yeah.
That's me. I'm going to put a little picture on it, but that's me. I love hats.
Maybe one of the shows that are coming up, you know, if you can, maybe you can call me and I can come on your show.
Okay, or you can call. You got the number. It'll pop up on your screen. You can call in.
But you know what? I'd have to be in all the time. I might miss you.
Oh, okay.
Prepare me.
Do you normally work?
You know, it's, no.
Okay.
My job.
Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, we're probably cutting off. Okay, then. Well, you have a wonderful and a beautiful day, and thank you so much for tuning in today.
My pleasure, love.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.